into the garbage, you flyboy!
This is a rebellion, isn't it?
I call it aggressive negotiations.
The garbage will do!
I like have this little mental image of these three Jedi Knights about to charge into battle. Ken and Claire, and then Sarah's like, hold on.
Hold Power on and shy.
Hang on, my takes a while to turn on.
Don't look at me.
I can't ignite my lightsaber when you're looking at me.
So yeah, hello from Chicago TARDIS. I'm Sarah.
I'm Claire.
And
I'm
we
Ken.
Have a special guest, that's Ken. We might sort of be at a Doctor Who convention, and if you can't tell, I bought a lightsaber.
And I bought a lightsaber.
What a coincidence, me too.
Yeah, we do know we're at a Doctor Who convention. Oops.
Bring them all in. It's not gay if you don't touch tips.
Alright. Also, I apologize. Mine will tell me when it turns off, so in about 4 minutes, you'll probably hear power off, and that's my lightsaber because it's very talkative.
Yeah, it totally freaked me out yesterday when I was holding onto it for you, because you were getting a massage, and then suddenly it was talking, and I'm like, oh my god, Sarah's lightsaber's haunted.
No, my lightsaber is just very, very chatty. So...
Anyways, so we are at a Doctor Who con, as we mentioned. We've been coming to this convention, I think the average is around 10 years for us.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
10 years.
Yeah, and we've known each other most of that time.
Yeah, very close.
And for the last couple of years, the way we tend to start conversations is, so about Star Wars?
Right. Because it's a Doctor Who convention, except we all just kind of come for friends.
Yeah.
We
still love Doctor Who, but we mostly want to hang out with people and...
talk about Star Wars.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Doctor Who fans tend to cross over with Star Wars fans, because Doctor Who fans are big nerds.
Right. I mean, we were running around the lobby with lightsabers for the past 2 days. It was great.
And somehow not getting into trouble.
No, yeah. And I had a standoff with a Dalek.
An R2 Dalek. Yeah.
See, and that's what she's talking about is the...
The crossover's great.
The crossover.
Yeah. Also,
Nerds.
MC left her lightsaber with me, and so I'm standing in front of the Dalek with two, and it backed down. I was very proud of that. I stared down a Dalek with a lightsaber. Yes.
Spoilers for next season of Doctor Who.
Yeah, seriously.
Or spoilers for episode 9? Who knows? Things
Ooh,
are crazy.
Yes. That would be fun.
I was talking with my cousin at Thanksgiving dinner, and he came up... When I say he, I mean we came up with a wild theory about episode 9. How basically it's going to merge into the J.J. Abrams Star Trek universe...
And that already happened, though?
It just needs a few more lens flares.
But this also involved a computer-generated Ricardo Montalban and Benedict Cumberbatch. And the more we were talking about it, the more I realized that we were basically just talking about the Ensigns Who Must Die series.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah. Which, if that happened in episode 9, then, you know, I'd have to sue somebody, and that actually... So I hope it does happen, because I could use some money.
Fun fact, Ricardo Montalban's pecs can deflect lightsabers, yeah.
Ooh.
One of the few substances that can, yeah.
All right. Good to know.
Yeah, so we've been talking a lot about Star Wars, and we bought lightsabers, and we also did the Star Wars panel yesterday. Which we did record and will be going up on Trash Compactor at some point.
Theoretically next week.
Yes. There just has to be some tweaks made to audio because it's very hard recording in a large room with one microphone.
Or a small, large room. Yeah, it's one of the smaller panel rooms, which is still way bigger than where either of us record on a normal day.
Yeah. Especially considering this is the kind of microphone that works best when you're recording in a closet.
Yeah, without loud people sitting right in front of it.
Do you record your podcast in the closet or out of the closet?
I'm always out of the closet, darling.
Yeah.
She says as she wears a bisexual rebel shirt.
I am not wearing my Ace Rebel shirt. It's at home. But I am wearing my Rainbow Lightsaber shirt. Not that any of you can see me except for you guys here. But, you know, Rainbow Lightsabers. Voila! There we go. You don't have any.
I'm wearing a Queen shirt, so.
Yeah, so that works too.
That's basically the same thing.
Yes. But yeah, so we came to a Doctor Who convention and we both signed up for the Star Wars panel. And no Doctor Who panels. Because that's what we do.
We are known as the Star Wars people.
Yeah, no one blinked twice about us carrying lightsabers around.
Ken came to this con one year dressed in like full Rebel uniform.
A fleet trooper, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, so it's kind of appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just how this con goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So about Star Wars. There we go. Okay. I could not have timed that better if I tried.
Sarah's lightsaber just checked out of this conversation. Apparently like, oh God, they're talking about Star Wars. Power off.
Apparently my lightsaber is not only talkative, but it might be a little bit sentient. Wow.
What a sassy bitch.
All right, so what do we want to talk about?
I know Ken keeps on bringing up The Mandalorian, which we did not get to talk about on the panel.
Mandalorian!
Somebody had not seen it.
Spoilers!
On the panel. And obviously we've talked about it on the podcast before, so y'all know that, you know, we're, like, up to date on The Mandalorian. And let's just give a little spoiler alert for The Mandalorian. And let's talk about this thing about the helmets.
Right, but let's also start with saying, this is the first episode of Star Wars that MC and I have managed to watch together.
Yay!
Aww. Like, original, not watching, rewatching.
Aww.
Because we have watched episodes of Rebels together and Clone Wars. We just toss it on TV when we're not doing anything else.
It's so funny because you're always saying, it's like, let's put on a random episode of Rebels. And for some reason, I always say, let's watch the episode where Ahsoka comes in.
Right, and this time I said, how about we watch the episode with the Purgles? Because I could. But anyway, back to Mandalorian.
So this
was the first thing we got to watch together. We got up early Friday morning.
Yes.
Hopped on Disney Plus and plopped down on our beds and watch The Mandalorian.
Yeah, and since we've been at a convention, I've not been able to see anybody's reactions to the episode. Usually, I will have seen other people's reactions before we record anything. But this time, going in clean, and I gotta say, it was okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was filler.
It felt like filler, which on an 8-episode season bothers me a little, so I'm really hoping that it comes back as something important later.
That's been a one of the few flaws of the show is a lot of the episodes have felt like filler. Like, what's going on? The story is slowly advancing in the background, but it just feels like, what was the point of this?
I mean, maybe it's because there isn't so much an overarching plot other than protect Baby Yoda.
Sure,
it does seem like this is. Because it's The Mandalorian, it's more of a character study than it is, like, a plot-driven show.
Sure.
Yeah, I think if we knew maybe why Baby Yoda needs to be protected so much, it would help.
He seems to be presenting itself more and more as, like, a MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we're ever really going to find out what his deal is. We just kind of guess.
We need an excuse to Lone Wolf and Cub.
Yeah, I was going to rephrase what I said, though, with what we need to know is why the Mandalorian cares so much.
Isn't that because that his whole face turn, as you will, seems like that would have been something that happened in, like, episode 6 or 7. Yes. After he's had a lengthy journey where he's kind of, oh, okay, I'm right. bonded with you.
Yeah. Yeah, we need something in his past that we haven't found out yet.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's a foundling and that he bonded with this, you know, Orphalyn. So he feels compelled to protect it. And I think that is part of the Mandalorian upbringing. Right. And this is probably a Legends thing, but I believe in Mandalorian culture that one of the biggest insults that can ever be is calling someone an absentee dad.
Okay.
And I could see, like, the Mandalorian already having bonded with Baby Yoda, seeing himself as Baby Yoda's father, mm-hmm. and then having, like, this...
Well, we've already established that, like, he's a complete sucker for foundlings.
Yeah.
And the castaways and all that, because every time he goes to make some armor, he's like, hey, just... make me this, and then everything else just give to the foundlings.
Right.
You know.
And also, Baby Yoda is just a sassy, sassy bitch when it comes to slurping soup.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to use that clip when just interspersed in my videos. Whenever I need... Instead of, like, the... was it you who showed me it, or you? I can't remember. Somebody showed me Kermit sipping tea... walked so that Yoda.
It's gonna be the new. It's gonna be the new nerd Kermit sipping tea.
Yeah, that was definitely me. I saw it on Facebook somewhere.
Yeah,
and I don't even know who to give credit to.
Yeah, I everybody find it is very funny, but yeah, I think I might want to use that for those, you know, sip tea moments.
Yeah, but every time Mandalorian told Baby Yoda stay put, all I could think was that's what I say to my cats.
That's
and they listen about as well.
They might even listen better sometimes.
That's one of the reasons why I love Baby Yoda, because Baby Yoda reminds me of a mix between my cats and my niece.
Yeah, okay, that works.
Okay.
Now I want to see Baby Yoda cat crossover art. Yeah, there's the artists that make cat versions of characters.
Yes.
Baby Yoda would make a very cute cat.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy to do as a cat.
Yeah, really would be.
And out of all of the things that... We've purchased all of these lightsabers. I also purchased a crocheted Baby Yoda from Isis.
Isis.
Yeah.
I don't know if she has a, like, online shop.
Yeah. We shall, before this goes up, I shall ask people in the know.
Yeah.
And hopefully get up a link to something, because Baby Yoda is freaking adorable. As a crocheted figure, as we knew he would be.
He really is. I'm just taking a glance to see if...
I've seen a couple of patterns out there that have been a little more full size and lifelike detailed.
Yeah.
Now it looks like she...
Just because having looked at what Disney has had to offer there, they were like, oh yeah, we're going to put up Baby Yoda merchandise. And so far they've been kind of... ain't it that really it's that one image of Baby Yoda that you see everywhere where he's just kind of like looking up and to the right.
Mm-hmm.
It's that they slapped it on a t-shirt, they slapped it on a tote bag. It's mm-hmm. it's kind of low effort. It feels like Disney really didn't consider that this character would be this big and this in demand,
which is
now they have to come around and get all that merchandise, because they already have merchandise. One of my buddies already got an action figure of the heavy Mandalorian.
Paz Vizsla.
Is he related to Pree?
Yes.
Well, I mean, they're both same voiced clan. By Jon Favreau.
Well, there you go. So
same clan somehow.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it seems so weird that they would be behind on the Baby Yoda. Like, I know that they didn't want to have spoilers. Like,
trying to avoid leaks.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you remember, like, the porgs were fucking everywhere. And...
The porgs were fucking everywhere?
Well, that explains why there were so many of them.
Sorry.
And if you think the Mandalorian is coming out like right before Christmas.
Yeah, there should be Baby Yoda stuff.
There should be lots of Baby Yoda stuff.
I think they didn't anticipate this.
They didn't anticipate it, and maybe they were a little overtly cautious.
They were also, let's face it, probably planning on this being for the grown-ups who weren't going to be wanting toys and plushies, whereas a lot of the last Jedi marketing was very kid oriented. Porgs, we know why Porgs even exist, because they didn't want to CGI all the puffins. But then they said, we could make this into the hot new kids toy at the same time. I don't think they were approaching Mandalorian with kids in mind.
I don't think they realized how many adults bought the Porg toys. And they weren't buying them for their kids.
Granted. I'm just saying, I think that's what it is. That's why really all you've seen so far have been action figures that nerds put up on their shelves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably a helmet by now or something like that. I haven't seen too much Mandalorian merch.
Yeah. The fan community super coming to, you know, the party for all of this stuff. The pin community, Sarah is...
I have Instagram solely because I want to track the Star Wars pins tag. And I just keep showing pictures at people and just
so
going,
many
do you want
things
this one? How
I
about
can't
this
afford.
One? Do you want this one? I haven't ordered any yet because I haven't decided which. There are just too many.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, all these Star Wars pin makers, for making this decision so difficult.
And my YouTube recommendations, since I watch so many costuming videos, I'm getting so many recommendations for how to make Mandalorian armor, how to make Mandalorian helmets, how to make the... Mm-hmm. Blaster rifle, is that what they called it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
This
one.
It's kind of like a disintegrator gun. They specifically, well, first of all, we all recognize it's from the holiday special. But it's also, now it's what I think of when Vader turns to Boba Fett, no disintegrations, because he's straight up disintegrating people with that. Yeah. It's a disintegrator sniper rifle.
Yeah, and now Boba Fett's just like, oh yeah, I don't carry that thing anymore. Like, so I'm not going to be disintegrating anybody. But yeah, no, loving all of this stuff coming out, because I would like to make all of the things.
Yep, I would like to buy all of the things.
I would like to buy all of the things, and I would like to make all of the things.
Well, I can't make any of the things, so I will buy all of the things.
Can we appreciate the fact that they released that Mandalorian image months and months ago, allowing people to go, oh, that looks awesome. I'm going to make that Mandalorian armor. And then within a couple episodes, he's junked it and gotten completely new armor.
That's true.
Oh, you should make this armor, too.
It's like, let's
all
sell
the wallets
twice.
Screamed in terror.
I think I actually like the original armor better than the new one.
Well, it's got that Star Wars lived in.
Yeah.
I kind of like the mix. Like the old armor with a bit of fresh stuff to it.
Do you know what armor I like? The armor that Baby Yoda is going to get eventually that Sarah can't stand the idea of.
No, I have no problem with the idea. I think it's hysterical, though.
I think the armor is going to evolve at least one more time.
I think so, yeah. Well, because, I mean, he's still got to get his sigil.
Right.
He's still got to get the sigil. I think he's going to end up with a jetpack. I mean, I know he did the... Oh, I got to get me one of these, you know.
See, I mean, I mentioned it on the Mandalorian episode we did, that he'd probably be really bad at it. But
sure.
Because it would be the callback to Ezra being terrible using it.
Sure.
And keep wanting one. Like, I got to get me one of those. And then getting one and crashing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Also, speaking of cosplay and all that stuff, one of the personal inner delights I've been getting off of Mandalorian has been realizing that all these Mandalorian clubs out there making their own personal armor and stuff and trying to act like Mandalorians, you know, like Klingon cosplayers do, they're now having their personal lore rewritten.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now everybody's got to go around going, all right, this is the way. you know, or stuff like that, or we may never remove our helmets.
Where has this come from? Where has this, because, I mean, if, you know, you remove your helmet, you can never put it on again. And I'm like, Sabine Wren is a freaking Mandalorian, like, straight up.
We saw dozens of Mandalorians with their helmets off.
Someone tried to argue that Sabine was the exception because she went to the Imperial Academy, but I'm sorry, her parents also took their helmets off.
Exactly.
And her brother, and all the rest of her clan.
Dude, you know, like, Vizsla did that. Yeah. All that, everybody did that. And you can't
never wore a helmet.
You can't say it's a different writer, because no. It's Filoni both times.
Yeah, right. So something happened in between those two points, and I really want to know what.
Is it like almost, is it possibly a matter of shame? Because obviously there has been like this great purge.
Right, that we know nothing about.
That we know nothing about, but we can kind of take hints from context, where it's like the Empire basically came in and massacred the Mandalorians and drove them underground. So that maybe the Mandalorians are like so ashamed of being beaten that they're hiding their faces in shame.
Or are they... Are they hiding their faces because facial recognition technology, you know, it's kind of easy to just wear a blank mask.
They're all Galaxy's Most Wanted. I don't know.
Who knows?
I want to know, but...
So, before we, like, wrap up conversation about Mandalorian, over or under on Boba Fett appearing?
No.
Oh, I hope not. I mean, I won't be surprised if it happens, but I really hope it doesn't.
This is why we're friends.
I mean, there was when they had the build up to the show. They said, you got to watch the first episode as soon as possible because there's a huge Star Wars spoiler. Obviously, it was Baby Yoda.
Yeah,
right. But there were a lot of people who were going, "Oh yes!" And at the end of the episode, he's going to take his helmet off and it's Temuera Morrison under it the whole time, or something like that. You know, or we find out that because they've revealed his name, like, off screen.
In an interview, yeah.
In an interview, but he's just the Mandalorian on screen. Right. Yeah.
I just thought of how I would be okay with Boba Fett showing up.
Yeah.
Flashback. In one of the Mandalorian's Clone Wars flashbacks.
What, are you gonna, like, train him?
He's
a total dick.
Yeah, just that he was in the background, or that, you know, he sent the Mandalorian off somewhere. Or aimed him at the rest of the clan.
I have an idea.
Not in current time. It would be in the flashback sequences.
I have an idea. What if somebody, like, mistook him for Boba Fett? And then they had a flashback where Boba Fett was, like, antagonizing him back during the Clone Wars when he was a little kid, and he's like, I hate that guy.
Yeah. But that's where I would be okay with it. Because otherwise you have to explain why Boba Fett's not dead, and I really want him to stay dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So therefore, timeline-wise... No, wait, Clone Wars era, he's still a kid. But in some form of flashback.
You get, like, some Daniel Logan, like...
Yeah, but in some form of flashback, I would be okay with him showing up.
Yeah.
Wouldn't love it, but I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, because, I mean, at what point... Because this is 5 years after Jedi...
And there's 4 years between A New Hope and Jedi, and then 19 years.
Because how do we have a general idea of how old the Mandalorian is? I mean, we did see the battle droid, so I'm guessing Clone Wars, he was a kid.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing he's probably around Pedro Pascal's age, which I think is early to mid-40s.
Okay.
And for some reason, he comes across as younger to me. I don't know why.
You have a phone right next to you.
I know, I could look it up, but there's just something...
I'm going to guess 46.
Okay. Yeah, we could figure this out. Okay, so...
It's Alan Moore.
Yeah, gee. We spent an unfortunate amount of time trying to come up with Alan Moore's name last night.
A shameful amount of time for people who rep as comic fans.
Right. And I don't even remember why. That's what's funny.
Oddly enough, I was doing the same exact thing because Tony was making fun of my hair and beard, and I was trying to think of Alan Moore's name. So I was like, I'm trying to be Alan Moore, man. And I couldn't think of it.
Before we went Frank Miller, Grant Morrison.
No, the other one.
The other one.
The other crazy
Pedro
one.
Pedro is 44.
Okay. So, Clone Wars, he would have been around, I'd say, we're 7 or 8, based on the flashback images.
Yeah, it would mean that he's about 5 years younger than Anakin.
Okay, yeah, so he could be in his 40s. Okay. There's still something that just calls back to younger to me.
Oh my god. Do you know what I just realized?
What?
Baby Yoda's older than him.
Yeah. That's awesome. I think that's a good note to end on, too. All right, folks. So, from Chicago TARDIS, our Doctor Who convention with a Star Wars twist.
May the Force be with you.
And also with you.
I have spoken.
This is the way.